Today's reading is in Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 22. Matthew chapter 12, verse 22. Then a demon-possessed man who was blind and unable to speak was brought to him. He healed him so that the man could both speak and see. All the crowds were astounded and said, "Could this be the son of David?" When the Pharisees heard this, they said, "This man drives out demons only by Beelzebul, the ruler of demons." Knowing their thoughts, he told them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is headed for destruction, and no city or house divided against itself will stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I drive out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons drive them out? For this reason, they will be your judges. If I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. How can someone enter a strong man's house and steal his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? Then he can plunder the house. Anyone who is not with me is against me, and anyone who does not gather with me scatters. Therefore I tell you, people will be forgiven every sin and blasphemy, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the one to come. Either make the tree good, and its fruit will be good, or make the tree bad, and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you speak good things when you are evil? For the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. A good person produces good things from his storeroom of good, and an evil person produces evil things from his storeroom of evil. I tell you that on the day of judgment, people will have to account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." So Jesus is again healing one who is demon-possessed. He was blind. He was mute. And so he heals him so that he could speak and he could see. And of course the crowds responded just like any other time that they see him perform a miracle, especially one of this stark contrast and magnitude. But the problem is the accusation that gets made. Because the crowds begin to ask, could this be the son of David? The implication within that question is, could this be the Christ? Could this be the one we're looking for? Could this be the one who's going to have authority, who's going to sit on the throne? And so the Pharisees hear this, and as they do in many occasions, they want to look for a way to accuse him. And so they make this statement, "This man drives out demons only by Beelzebul, the ruler of demons." So not only do they try to refute that he would be the son of David, but they're trying to cast dispersion upon him so that the people don't pay attention to these miraculous things that he's doing. Remember that miracles were to confirm the word. Yes, even for Jesus, to confirm that he was who he said he was. That is a witnessing to who Jesus was and what he was saying. So the Pharisees are trying to say that witnessing is invalid. You don't need to pay any attention to him because this all comes from a false source. This is very dangerous ground for them to try to stand on. Because there's no doubt that a miracle has been done. To cast dispersion on it in this way, to say that he's doing this by the power of Satan, that's very dangerous territory to get into, to blaspheme against God in this way. But Jesus realizes what's going on. He knows their thoughts. And he begins to tell them every kingdom divided against itself cannot stand, is headed for destruction. No city or house divided against itself will stand. And so he asked this question, if Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself, and how then will this kingdom stand? He said, how does this work? How would it even work for those that are on the side of Satan, by the power of Satan, are possessing one, and then Jesus come along and somehow by the power of Satan cast them out? How would that work? Jesus begins to say in verse 29, how can someone enter a strong man's house and steal his possession unless he first ties up the strong man? So in order for him to be able to cast out one of these demons, he has to have a power that is greater than the power by which that demon is engaging in that oppression. Only God is able to do that. God is stronger. God is more powerful. He is in control. So that's what Jesus is asking this question for. And then he goes on to say, if I drive out demons by Beelzebul, you know, playing a little devil's advocate here, by whom do your sons drive them out? He doesn't answer it, but he does say your answer is going to give away a lot. You know, you're going to be judged in this matter. But verse 28 says, if I drive out demons then by the Spirit of God, so going to the converse, you have said that it's by the power of Satan. I say, if I drive it out by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. And that should be something the Jews were excited about, happy about. Then verse 30, anyone who is not with me is against me. Anyone who does not gather with me scatters. So if he's doing this by the Spirit of God, which it's obvious that he is, and he's doing the will of God, which is confirmed by the things that he has done, then he's saying, if you're not with me, you're against me. If you're not helping me, you are causing confusion. You're causing problems. You're going against God. And so he tells them, people will be forgiven every sin and blasphemy, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. That's what they're doing. They're blaspheming the power of God here. They're calling it by the power of Satan. It says, you can be forgiven of everything else, but one who will not accept the power of God and will call it a satanic power, no, that's not going to be forgiven. That's because one that is like this, that they are completely opposed to God. They're completely opposed to anything that doesn't fit their will. And that's exactly what they were doing. And so he explains all of this too with the idea of what we store in our hearts, beginning in verse 33. If you got a good tree, then you got good fruit. If you got a bad tree, then you got bad fruit. The tree is us. It's our heart. It's who we are. And he says, verse 34, you brood of vipers, how can you speak good things when you are evil? Your tree is bad. So what makes anybody think that you can produce something good coming out of that bad tree? The mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. The heart is the issue. Out of the heart springs the issues of life. A good person produces good things. An evil person produces evil things. And so by your fruits, you shall know them. That's really what he's getting down to. And so what would you know about these Pharisees at this point? Well, you would say they are evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will have to account for every careless word they speak. And maybe that's the case. Maybe these Pharisees were speaking carelessly out of the passion of the moment. But he says, even if it is out of the passion of the moment, even if it is a careless word, you're still going to give account for it. And that's something we need to remember. We need to be slow to speak because everything is going to be accounted for. We need to be careful what we say and what we're storing up in our hearts. Thank you for listening today. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.